Welcome to Nationals 101, a podcast by Nationals fans for Nationals fans. I'm Susan, hey. A.K.A. Smeshy.
Oh, wow. Okay. That was...
Yeah, I cut you off there.
You did. You did. And then you were like very monotone and then just like blew up. Whoa.
Full of surprises.
I know. You're just like the wild card today. I'm going to call you Charlie for the rest of the podcast. yeah, I'm Frank. And welcome to Nationals 101, as Susan said, where we bring you the baseball basics, through the Nationals filter, I suppose, kind of looking at the hometown nine and talking about all the things you might want to know about baseball, but you were a little embarrassed or afraid to ask. And then also just sort of talking baseball, too.
Yeah.
Not much happened this week, which is
no,
fine.
No, it was very quiet.
Because the last week and a half before that was, as we covered in podcast one, pretty insane with all the pickups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies added a guy. The Braves added a guy, but I think we'll talk about more about how the other teams look as we get a little closer to the season and we get a better picture of their full team. But one of the things that gets us a little bit closer to the season is the topic du jour, if you will.
Well, first of all, there are two things that get us closer.
Okay.
First thing is Nats Fest.
Right.
Which happens tomorrow, Saturday. Not September. Yeah. Oh my gosh, where am I?
You're watching Fringe, and you're used to the guy named September.
It'll be Saturday, January. There we go, 26.
Janvier.
We will be there. I think we're going to get there, I don't know, 10:30-ish.
Yeah, we have to get our tickets reprinted because they never sent them to us, but the Nationals people assure us that we will be able to get our Nats Fest tickets
You see some printed. Angry people yelling at the poor ticket lady because she didn't have our tickets. It's probably us.
It might be. Although we do a good job of not yelling at people if we can handle it. Yeah, but we'll be there. We'll be there all day. We'll, of course, be at the Bobby Vans happy hour.
Absolutely.
Afterwards at 5 o'clock, 15th and I.
There's a lot of people who have signed up to go.
So like 100 people
this
are supposed
insane.
To go.
This is insane. And usually it's just a group of, what, 10 of us?
Yeah.
This
well,
is going to be so fun.
You know, there's the hardcore. There's the hardcore fan. And then there's the ready-to-be hardcore fan, as I like to say. You know.
There's the
we're not going to denigrate
veteran
anyone.
Veteran and the... The rookies, right?
Right, but rookies can all become veterans.
Absolutely.
So we're going to go to Nats Fest tomorrow, and we're going to do that. But, of course, by the time you hear this, Nats Fest might be going on and or over.
This is true.
So hopefully you were going.
Hopefully you had fun.
Right.
Anyway. Hopefully we met you at Bobby Vans or at Nats Fest.
It was so nice to meet you at Bobby Vans.
So nice to meet you.
Right, okay.
You're great.
But the other thing that gets us a little bit closer to the season is the first true baseball activities of the season, which we call collectively...
Spring training.
Yeah. Training. So today's episode, I guess, is going to be all about...
Spring training.
Yeah.
What to do, where to go, what to see, blah, 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 blah.
Yes. So when do pitchers and catchers report for 2013 MLB? I think it's 18 days now. It's very close.
It's like mid-February coming
right.
up here soon.
Generally between the 11th and 14th. I forget exactly which day. Then I'll look that up while we're talking about it. That happens. And then there's also the World Baseball Classic in March. So some of the guys won't be in spring training the whole time, but that's fine because they'll be playing baseball, which is more or less the point of
spring training.
But why don't you go ahead and get us started on spring training? Give us an overview of what it is if you're not familiar with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So spring training is a chance for the ball clubs to come back and kind of start practicing with the team together. It's also a time of where those minor league players start kind of trying out a little bit for the major leagues. As you know, there's the 40-man roster that we start with, and many of those extra players that are on the 40-man roster kind of come from their performances on during spring training.
They'll also and the Nats are actually good. It looks like if I'm reading this right, it says Thursday the 14th. So on Valentine's Day.
Well, it's good because I heart the Nats.
I heart the Nats too. and we'll have a good reason not to go out to dinner with everyone else because we'll say no. We're more interested.
On record as saying that I do not care for Valentine's Day.
But if you pro tip, guys, go out on the 13th. You can get
or the 15th, right?
You can get a table anywhere the 13th or 15th,
and they'll usually give you the same specials.
And they're falling over themselves to try and get you the get you there. So you know, step one, marry someone who's not so picky, and second of all, about Valentine's Day, go out on the 13th or 15th. But yeah, the Nats will be reporting on Valentine's Day, and they do a lot of minor leaguers come up, and got a lot of what's called like non-roster invites. Basically, other minor leaguers who aren't necessarily on the 40-man roster yet can come out and try out and see how they're doing. compared to those professionals, the veterans.
Right. So then they play other ball clubs that are training in the same area.
Right.
There's different leagues. There's the Cactus League, which is over in Arizona.
Right.
And I forget exactly who's in it. I know the Cincinnati Reds are in it. I think the Cleveland Indians are in it.
A lot of the West Coast teams,
I
want
to say maybe the Chicago Cubs are out there.
I think the Cubs are out there.
Yeah, the Cubs are out there. So that's all the way in Arizona.
Dodgers, Angels, everybody who's basically west of the Mississippi,
which is why I was surprised.
With very few exceptions.
Yeah, which is why I was surprised that Cleveland and Chicago were out there. And then there's the Grapefruit League, which is where the Nationals are, and that's down in Florida. And so they'll be scrimmaging, basically, playing other teams.
Yeah.
For the most part. And sizing each other up.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So what we're going to do, for the players, spring training is important. It gets everything moving and going and gets you, you know, if you got a new coach or new players, it's important. You get to meet them and hang around with them. But within, I don't know, 10 minutes of being at spring training as a fan, you understand that it's not the most important thing in the world to the players, nor is it the most important thing in the world to the fans.
But you know what? It's so much fun.
Oh, it's total fun. It's fun for everybody. It's one of those things that everybody has a nice, relaxed feel about it. I'm sure some of the younger guys really want to prove themselves, but more or less, veterans, a team like the Nationals, pretty much it's going to be about getting to know a few of those guys, getting some of your pitches back in, seeing live hitters, and they keep score, but they don't really keep score, if you know what I'm saying. They got to keep score, but there's a lot of times where, you know, they'll say they care about the score, but it's not really about the score. It's about
it's about how you play.
It's almost like...
participation ribbon.
It is the participation ribbon, which is okay because it's for practice. So you get to see the Nats against a bunch of teams. I got the list here. The Braves, the Red Sox, the Tigers. The Astros are one of the few teams over the Mississippi that come this way. The Miami Marlins, the Minnesota Twins, another one. The Mets, the Yankees, the Phillies, the Cardinals, another one that comes over from kind of the Midwest, Toronto, Tampa, and, of course, the Washington Nationals. Those are the teams that play in Florida. And I think the Baltimore Orioles, which don't seem to be listed here.
I don't know.
There might be – and the Tigers. Okay, I see. I was looking at the teams that had tickets for sale now. So, basically, those teams are kind of over in the Grapefruit League. So why don't we kind of jump in? Basically, what we're gonna do, it's almost like a travel guide.
We are
what we're
gonna
do.
Yes. You know, we're here for whatever you need, really.
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah. And there are definitely
outside of baseball, we'll help you.
Right. And there are definitely new fans who are going to spring training for the first time, or maybe just were interested in what
and
our spring training
was. We went
training
to the spring training for the first time last year, so I mean this is only our second time. But
right, we're not experts, but we'll let you know. We scooped. Mark Zuckerman on NatsInsider.com does do an annual spring training guide, and it was very helpful to me last year, so you can look at that. But I feel like we're going to fill in some of the blanks for you here. So what's the first thing we should talk about, I guess?
Well, getting there.
Yeah.
That's kind of the hardest part. If you've ever been to Florida, you kind of know it's there's really not much there. I mean, yes, there's the great beaches and stuff, but especially where many of the baseball stadiums are located.
Well, where are the Nationals baseball stadium
the
is
Nationals
located?
Base is in Viera, Florida.
Yeah.
Which is
next to Melbourne, Florida, which are two
which
places
is like you would not really know of.
Yeah, if you were not there to go see football or baseball, wow, okay, I should be banned from the podcast for saying football. If you were not
I said it was September. We're okay.
Yeah, very fair enough. If you're not there to see baseball, you probably wouldn't know exactly what's going on in the middle of what's Central Florida. But getting there, rather than where you will end up, let's talk about getting there. The big airport is
the Orlando Airport.
The Orlando
and
Airport.
It's still about 45 to an hour drive.
Yeah, Florida is driving country. Yeah. It is not.
The stadium's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, everything's in the middle of nowhere.
Everything's in the middle
everything's
of nowhere.
Nowhere.
You have to drive everywhere.
So get a car.
Basically,
you need to get a
you
car.
Will need to get a car. If you want to drive from Washington, I think it's an 18-hour drive. I don't know. I think
long.
It's a
whatever
long,
it is, it's long.
It's probably a two-day trip or at least a two-person trip with your switch when you're switching off at least.
But if you're going to drive, just
it's
get
very
a 95
easy.
South.
You
and
get a
keep
95
going.
South and go because when we're down in Viera, literally Space Coast Stadium is
off 95,
like a mile from 95. So if you want to drive down, you can do that. You can stay when you get there.
Stay in Viera or Melbourne.
Melbourne.
They're right
if
next
you,
to each other.
Right.
But again, I mean, that's when I stay right next to each other, there's still like 10-minute drive.
Right.
Because it's spread out.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the, it's one of those places where here in D.C., we feel like this when we go to Indiana or Rochester, back to our hometowns in Indianapolis and Rochester, New York, where everything's a lot more spread out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I take a 10-minute walk in Washington or even in, like, Shirlington, I've passed a whole bunch of things.
Right.
And in a 10-minute walk in Florida, you've just walked by, like, a field to get to the next field to
eventually get to the beach sometime.
Right, yeah. So everything is a lot more spread out. So you're going to need the transport to help you out.
I mean, there's really, other than baseball and the beaches, there's not a lot going on.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. You can't wait to say how little there is to do.
No, but I'm excited to tell about what there is to do, what we discovered.
Oh, I see. So you're setting it up. You're setting up the expectations
low,
and then you're going to crush everybody with the awesome ideas you have.
Yeah.
All right,
you know it.
We'll see. That part of Florida, going between Orlando and Vieira, and Melbourne, it's part of what's largely called like the Space Coast or the Treasure Coast, and it's made up of a bunch of beaches. And Vieira is kind of off central east Florida,
sure.
I guess. It's not quite dead center.
East of Orlando.
It's east of Orlando.
Between Orlando and the beach.
And you're closer to the beach than you are Orlando.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's that. But there's a lot. There's a big toll road, and it's literally like I don't know. I think it felt like $3 each way. Exact change if you don't have one of those Easy Pass deals, which next time we go, I'm probably going to get the Easy Pass if it's available with the rental car. So you want to keep track of those. You can take other roads. Those roads, if you get out on those other roads, make sure you have gas because there's a lot of swampland between you and wherever you're going next in that part of Florida. That's all there is to it. You're just sort of coasting for 45 minutes before the next something comes up. That can happen. So... what else? Yeah. So if you're looking for hotels, the place we stayed at was right next to the stadium. There's two places, a La Quinta Inn and a
the Holiday Inn Conference Center.
That's where we stayed.
I really liked the Holiday Inn Conference
Center. It was very good.
It was right off the interstate. It was across from one of my favorite things to do, which we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
And it was like a mile away.
Yeah.
From
if
the
that.
Space Coast Stadium.
It was
next
to a Target and a big sort of movie complex. So
yeah.
It's very good. It's competitive with any of the other pricing.
Yep.
You can stay a lot cheaper. You can stay they have places that are like one star for $50 a night.
But I don't think
you don't want to stay there.
No.
But they're like, you know, if you're a college boy and you don't care that you're staying in a Super 8 or whatever.
Gross.
Gross for you. I don't want to judge others. And they didn't, you know, the reviews online weren't that bad. You are obviously the only person who knows what type of hotel you want to stay in. But
don't mind flea infested, beg bug, grody Florida swamp hotels for $50.
For $50 a night, there may or may not be a gator in your hotel room.
And maybe in the shower.
We're making no guarantees. You can spend... the place we're staying this time is a little further away. It's in Melbourne proper. That's a little bit more of a town there. It's about $100 a night. I think we did.
Yeah, something like that.
That seems pretty reasonable. You can get in between $80 and $120 a night for hotels. You can certainly go up to like $200 a night. I don't know the Nationals were doing a package for a hotel that stayed right on the beach that was a lot more expensive than that even. It came with a lot of Nats perks. But the point is there are plenty of places to stay. We found that a lot of it's very clean and nice and
for the most part, it's affordable. Florida. The state thrives on tourism. So if they don't have that, what do they have?
Thrives on the blood of people. I don't know. Florida is not my favorite place other than spring training.
Yeah.
I hate to say that. Yeah. But anyway, the point is they were the two closest. There are some nicer places. There are some cheaper places. There are some options for you.
Absolutely. But let's talk about when you get there, you've checked into your hotel, wherever you're staying, and it's just some suggestions to help you guys. Because there are some things that we learned last year that...
What did we learn?
Well, even
I
though
I have no idea where you're going with this.
Oh.
Oh, I see where it says suggestions.
It's in your outline.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Read the outline. So we got there, and it was... We're going at the end of February this year, but February, March... And
I think we went in like the middle of March last year.
Last year we went in the middle of March, but the one thing that I was surprised about, and again, I don't go to Florida that often, but it was hot and sunny.
Yeah.
Very sunny.
And I was there for 2 or 3 days without you.
Mm-hmm.
You and my sister came down eventually, which was a fun time for all.
Yeah.
But I was down there the first day. I pretty much got sunburned
It's brutal. Yeah.
But I got sunburned on the day that was overcast. I had, because it's, you know, the UV was coming through or whatever. And I just sort of underestimated the whole deal. Like, well, it's not direct sunlight. I'll be fine. All that Florida sun's no joke.
Yeah, I mean, we were there on a very sunny day, and I was expecting it to not be so hot, just hot or sunny.
Not,
I mean,
whether you're certainly when you're on the beach, if you go to the beach, but whether you're at the stadium or driving around in your car, you can't mess around. You gotta use
that SPF, people.
You gotta use the SPF, and it's one of those things that it'll sneak up on you. So when you get there, it'll sneak up on you quick.
And, there's
and
not
the next
a
thing you know, you're kind of burned for the next couple of days, and you're going to ruin your trip.
And at the stadium, in the stands, there's not a lot of shade opportunities.
No, yeah, Space Coast Stadium is not a big...
You know, there's the concession area and, like, the concourse
area. Yeah, concourse area.
That's mostly shaded, but otherwise, there's not a lot of trees unless there's one area that it's usually reserved for things. It was reserved last time.
Yeah, it was, and they said
like
that
a
you...
private party or something.
I forget, it was, like, the Pepsi deck or something. There's a deck in the outfield that... You have to have special tickets to get to, or after like the fifth or sixth inning, they open it up. But
you know, big.
But that wasn't shaded either.
A little more so than the stands,
right?
But yeah, not
so
not
that just
much.
Just you know, you're at the beach the whole week. Even when you're not on the beach, assume you are half naked and on the beach, and that's how you should treat your skin, because it'll get to you. It'll get to you quickly. We also right near the Nationals Park, or not too far on a place called Wickham Road, which is kind of near the stadium. There's a Target and I think a Sam's Club on the other side
of
the road.
Yeah, it's a nice little complex. I mean, it's like a nice little town. There is a bunch of stores.
Well, they had built up like a almost like an outlet shop, it felt like. It wasn't an outlet shop, but it felt like, you know, when you're driving down, you know, and all of a sudden there's this outlet in the middle of nowhere. That's kind of what it was like.
And there's Target, which is one of our favorite stores.
Sadly. But we went there and totally got a case of water and chips and stuff. And it was very good, because it was one of those things that, you know, in our hotel room, at least, you know, we didn't want to – we're not big fans of eating out a lot.
False.
Well, no. Okay. I'll qualify that in a minute. You and I, when we go out, we get very sick of having to eat out all the time.
True that.
Especially when, as is the case in this part of Florida, everything is like a chain.
Everything is a chain.
And as a sports bar kind of feel to it. Or there's not a lot of home cooking places that we saw.
No.
Everything's like – you know, a big
Applebee's
name,
or Chili's,
which we do not, you know, judge wholesale.
No, not at all. But
when that's your only option for three or four days,
it
can be a lot of heavy food, especially if you're like us and we try, you know, we try to cook at home as much as possible. And we don't go to, you know, we drink when we're out, but we don't go out all the time. So, you know, going to places all the time for food out gets expensive, and it just gets heavy in your gut after a while.
Yeah.
At least we do. So it was a big thing for us to stop and get some,
we got some fruit,
we got some water, we kept it in our room. We brought it with us on road trips, so we'd have a little snack, at least a little snack every now and then, to make sure that we weren't solely, you know, the eaters of fat and fried and whatever kind of food.
Yes.
So hit up the Target, get some of those things. Also, if you don't want to go, it's not. We're only really mentioning it because it's really close to the stadium.
Right.
So if you don't want to pay the tourist price for suntan lotion, go to the Target before you go to the stadium. Or and same if you don't want to carry it on the plane, because it's that's probably one of those things that if you're flying down to Orlando, you can only bring so much in a bottle. So, you know, it's much cheaper at the store. You can go pick it up there.
Yes.
I mentioned the back roads and the gas. The other thing is, okay, well, the easy one is little lizards running around are normal. You're gonna see little geckos and things. That's okay. They're harmless. They're fine.
Frank freaked out that last time he saw one.
Well, that was in St. John, and it was in the shower. And
he
it was
still freaked out.
I did freak out. I was more worried in Florida that every time I ran by, because I was running more then. And I will be running more this time too. Every time I went by a body of water, I was worried an alligator was going to, or a crocodile was going to come out and bite my leg off. Cause that's what happens in Florida.
Apparently, I guess.
My impression of Florida is three things. It's sunny. There are old people, and alligators and crocodiles eat you.
And then of course there's the boa constrictors that people have as pets.
I didn't even think of those. Thanks.
You're welcome.
But the small little lizards are just fine and normal, and they run around. You get used to them pretty quickly. They're not everywhere, but when you see them, don't freak out. The other thing that I think is a weird cultural – it's a weird cultural touchstone to put on. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. But I think Washington, D.C. is a very special insular place. Northern Virginia and, you know, Southern Maryland as well. We are very used to people thinking and feeling not exactly the same way, but understanding certain rules of decorum and discussion. Point being that you are much more likely to see a Stars and Bars set up on someone's truck and or something kind of inflammatory in a political sense that you wouldn't normally.
The Confederacy lives.
Some of that, some of it's just and it's not even just like, you know, it's not even just because I'm a raging liberal that I feel this way.
Just in case you couldn't tell.
Right. just in case you don't follow my actual Twitter and know these things. But there is a way that in a big city and especially, I think DC is really good at this, that everyone who's not involved in politics does an excellent job of never talking about politics. And it was a culture shock for me to go to Florida and just realize like, whoa, I feel a little out of place here. So for the most part, when you're going to baseball games and stuff, you're not gonna see that. If you're a wacko adventurer like me and you have to pull over on the side of the road to go to the flea market because that's just the kind of ridiculous thing I do, be prepared, because definitely Florida is a different place than Northern Virginia. And I think before I step on any sort of landmine, I feel like I've not embarrassed myself or insulted anyone, but said and gotten my point across. What do you think?
I think you did a good job, and I think our listeners should just know that you're just a sensitive person.
I am a very sensitive person.
Things affect you
Things
deeply.
Affect me. And I was just a little put off, and I was a little
taken back.
Taken back is probably even a better word, because it was sort of like, I'm just not used to that kind of language being on a bumper sticker. Or
okay,
I haven't seen
enough.
It in a while. Right. I haven't seen that type of wording in a long time. Because we're a very buttoned up place here in DC. Except
Frank's
when we're showing, it's not even a rant. I didn't attack anyone.
No, you just went on for a long time about it.
Just wouldn't shut up. Moving on. In summary, Florida is not Washington, D.C.
Before we actually talk about spring training, I want to talk about spring training last. The actual.
We've done all this. We have not talked baseball for 1 second.
I know. But I want to do that last so that people actually get through the podcast.
You're so smart.
Method. Thank you for listening, by the way. So non-baseball things to do.
This is only if you're not going to go to spring training every day and be there all morning and every afternoon. Because if you want, you can, in fact,
go
fill up your entire day from 9 in the morning till 6 at night doing baseball. But if you feel like you need a break, these are some of the things you
there
can
are
do.
A lot of actually fun things to do in that little area, even though we were saying how there was like
even
nothing
though
to
you
do.
Were saying there was nothing
even
to do.
Though I was saying there was nothing to do, I fooled you. There's actually a lot of little things to do. The first thing that you can do is it's called the Space Coast for a reason. It's because the Kennedy Space Center is actually just around the corner.
Yeah, I'd say
away.
It's like 20 miles away.
Yeah,
which in that part of Florida is
that's
right around
nothing.
The corner.
That's right around the corner. And even though it's not operational anymore, they still have tours and whatnot. The tours are a little expensive. I think it's $50.
I think they're $50
a ticket.
I don't know if there's a government or student discount, but I'm sure there's
something. I
think there is. Okay.
But that's something that I would like to do. We didn't do it last year because we ran out of time, and it was just that much further.
Yeah, so you can tour like Cape Canaveral and
yeah,
the
do the
NASA
whole thing.
Complex there.
So that's
which is pretty
cool, especially if you have kids. Something really fun to see, and I'm sure they have lots of kid things to do. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but I would assume so. The beach, obviously, we went to Cocoa Beach, which is it was fine.
Totally
it was
fine
a beach.
Beach.
It was a public beach. It was free. Parking was not necessarily free, and like umbrellas and chairs they had to
right.
pay for.
What I was told was if you can pull over on the side of the road somewhere and there's not a meter, you can park there and just walk to the beach. But that's a little intimidating for people. Like I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't just pull over to the side of the road and walk to the water.
And hope that your car is there later.
I kind of want to park at a place and then know that I can get a cup of coffee.
I think a lot of the parking was metered. I mean, not necessarily.
It wasn't all that expensive, especially by the time that the beach is free.
Right.
There's plenty of bars right on the beach. Cocoa Beach was nice.
Yeah.
All the beaches up and down, as far as I could tell, were pretty cool. So I don't think you'd have to worry
about.
There's
a nice pier.
Yeah.
We saw a guy fishing, and he got some pretty cool fish.
Yeah, and they had that big pelican at the end of the pier. There was a bar at the end of the pier, and you could drink there, and obviously because it was a bar.
See, again, the weird thing about the Florida weather at this time of year is that even though the sun is really intense, when you're out on that pier, that wind
feels great.
Was ridiculous. I mean, I needed my sweatshirt. I needed...
Right.
I mean, so plan ahead.
And I didn't know pelicans could get that big.
They're huge.
That thing was massive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So there's plenty of stuff like that to do.
Yep. As we were talking about the Target... There's a...
If you want to visit Target and you think
fun. No, I was going to say it like near this actual stadium, there's a little shopping plaza that has a lot of really nicer restaurants. Not as chainy, but it also has a few... What?
No, they're totally chainy, but go ahead.
They're not that chainy.
Okay.
Whatever. They're nicer. They had like a melting pot, I think, which is
definitely not a
definitely
chain.
A huge chain, but it's a little bit nicer.
They had the Beers of the World, and they had that place that we liked, the diner, which I can't remember, Mimi's or something.
Something
right?
like that, yeah. Yeah. But they have a bunch of little shops. That's where I found Charming Charlie's, which is a jewelry place. I was excited about that. And they have, I think, Old Navy, The Gap maybe. I'm not too sure. And then movie theater.
Well, I guess it's nice to go to the stores if you forgot your bathing suit or something. But the movie theater is nice if you've absolutely had enough of the sun.
Yeah. No, it was nice. We went and saw The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah. It was actually a nice little break.
It
really kind of was. Nice plaza. So there's that to do. And then there's the Florida Swamp Ale Tours.
Yeah, they have Florida Swamp Ale is a favorite beer of mine. I like them when I drink them. And their breweries down there. We didn't do that last year either, but I think that's on the slate for this year.
Absolutely. And my favorite thing to do. This is what I've located
at,
out.
Located at 8225 North Wickham Road in Melbourne, Florida.
Woo, right off of 95.
Right off of Route 95.
My favorite thing that we did last year was the Brevard County Zoo.
Yep.
It was right across from a hotel. It was the most surprising little gem.
Great zoo.
It was amazing.
It's an amazingly good for where you are and what you're doing.
And the
it's
little
just
sign.
Such a,
I mean, the sign's kind of shabby. It's kind of like whatever. Brevard County Zoo. It was fantastic.
It was a really good zoo.
I mean,
zoo.
They had a huge python. They had obviously alligators that you were like really close to. That was the whole thing. You were close to all these things. They had a few bald eagles.
Yeah, they had
They
had some bald eagles, which were...
Everything was really close. And I think that was the thing that you don't necessarily get here in D.C. or in other places where, I mean, you were really... Just about 10 feet away.
Yeah, we were probably 10 feet away from this bald eagle, which was a no joke big bald eagle.
I still have the picture on my phone. It was pretty cool.
My favorite part, of course, was the giraffe.
You could feed the giraffes. Yeah.
Well, because they have a tower that you climb up. It's a big platform that's two stories, and you climb up the tower. And at the top of the tower, you are now face to face with the giraffe. You are now
awesome.
On the height of the giraffe, and you can buy little treats and feed the giraffe, and they're very sweet and gentle, and they're just. It's like one
it's
thing
cool.
to see a giraffe in the zoo. It's another thing to see a giraffe like in your face at the zoo.
Yes,
and you know, it was totally safe and cool. You know, it was just awesome. I think they have a zip line or something
here
too. They
do. They had a zip line that kind of went over some of the
Yeah, you
kind of
go over
stuff,
you
so kind of
go over
on.
Like the alligator or something. So it's is it alligators or crocodiles? I feel like I learned that
I don't
last
know.
Year.
I'm sure it's both.
Yeah.
But they had everything and it was just a real nice surprise. I don't think it was that expensive. You did have to pay for it.
Yeah,
it always shocks me when you have to go to a zoo and pay for it.
Right, because we're spoiled here.
We're totally spoiled.
They do have American alligators and American crocodiles.
There you go. How much is it since you're on the website?
I'm looking it up now. It's
okay. But it wasn't that expensive, and it's worth it.
$15 for adults, $14 for seniors, $11 for kids 2 to 12.
There you go.
25 cents of each admission goes to the conservation programs. I'm trying to see if there's they have some zoo packages and things, so you could look into that on the website if you want. But really, it was just one of those things where, you know, it was a Tuesday morning and the game was at 1 o'clock and we just kind of didn't want to hang out at the field all day.
Yep.
We had done that a couple days in a row. And man, that was a really good
perfect.
Zoo. And so if you're a zoo fan and you like animals, we'll cover it more on our zoo podcast, you know. Alligators 101, which is you know, our other great podcast.
No, but if you guys if you do go and you have a chance, do go to spring training and you do have a chance, check out the Brevard County Zoo.
All right, I'm sick of all this. Can we finally talk about baseball?
Fine. I mean, what is this, a baseball podcast or something? Tell us about spring training, Frank.
Woohoo!
Woo!
So depending on when you go, you're going to see more players or less players. As spring training goes on, they narrow down the team and who's going to be on it, and those are the people who end up sticking around. The other guys sort of get sent to wherever their designated AAA, AA team are, mm-hmm. is going to be. So they go and get ready for the season. Pitchers and catchers report, and they sort of have 2 weeks or so where they don't play any games. They're just, I don't know, doing calisthenics, throwing the ball, throwing the baseball.
Warming up.
Not warming up playing a game. They might simulate a couple of situations on the diamond against each other. So it's a good time to go if you're not really interested in games. I feel like if you go during those times, you're going to see players doing things more if you're interested in that kind of thing. There's also a good chance that you could probably pull a player aside and say hi or talk to them, get a photo with them.
They're so close.
Yeah, you really do. You really see.
What is this, like a high school or minor league stadium? It's
Brave Arc, Space Coast Stadium is a minor league. It's like a double or triple A stadium during the rest of the year.
Right. I mean, it's a small stadium. It's nice and quaint, but you are really close to the players.
Right.
I mean, we got some great close-up shots of Strasburg.
That's the stadium. That's not the field. What I'm going to tell people now is if you want to really get an autograph or you want to meet a player, you can go to the game and hope and maybe afterwards see them. Sometimes you can get a line on where they're hanging out after a game, you know, if they're going to a bar for dinner or something. And my understanding is everyone's pretty nice, especially with the Nationals. This is a really nice group of guys, and nobody's a jerk. I can't vouch for the news guys, but I've heard nothing but good stuff about the guys that are currently on the team. But if you want to watch the guys warm up and you want to get a signed baseball or something, you got to get there early. They probably start around 9 or 10 in the morning for a 1 o'clock game, and they're doing a bunch of different, you know, field activities. So you just go park, you hang out, you bring your camera, you bring your radio, you listen to a little music, and you watch the guys warm up. You give them some cat calls, you tease them, you know. They get to know you, you get to know them. That's how, you know, people, they all sorts of people I know are friendly and I've talked to players who then talk back to them and then remember them during the season. So that's a great way to sort of discuss things with them. And then if you're nice and they're in the mood, they'll sign a baseball or a baseball card for you. Which is a big thing for me. I like getting on.
You got a few things signed last year.
I did.
Gio or Ian?
Gio signed a ball for me because I helped. He was on his way into the stadium, and I took a picture of him with a veteran, which was really cool. They asked for help, and he said thanks to me, and I said, you know, do you mind? And he totally signed the baseball for me.
Very cool.
Ian Desmond also. I got Ian Desmond's autograph when he was coming out of that was in Houston, the Houston Kissimmee complex. We'll talk about that in a minute, but he was coming out to the field, and basically it's a group of people stand near where they're coming out, and if a player is in the mood, they'll sign a bunch of autographs on their way out to the field. Also, if you can sit near the bullpens in some stadiums, there's in Houston and Kissimmee, their bullpen is just a bench that's next to the stadium. So imagine yourself in the front row, and then there's a bench, and on the bench is the relievers. So that's a great place to kind of chat up guys. The one thing you have to be mindful of is walking the line between being friendly and cool and being obnoxious.
Overly friendly.
Overly friendly, or, you know, or frank.
And not cool.
Frank-like, as we like to say. Right. but for the most part, they're really nice. And if you just sort of mind your manners, say things like please and thank you, you know, don't get angry at a player that doesn't want to sign things. Jordan Zimmermann didn't want to sign anything. He was pitching that day. And he pitched, and when he came, he was thinking about his pitches. So on the way in and the way out, he wasn't signing.
I get the sense that pitchers are like hockey goalies, where they have
a whole routine system,
and that they were in the zone for the 24 hours before.
They definitely make spring training a fan experience. It's about the people who come down. They're very generous with like T-shirt giveaways and stuff like that.
A bunch of stuff.
They had a lot of money. They were raising charity, selling things for charity, which was great, and I got some great things. But those guys are there to work. So if they're thinking about something and they don't want to sign autographs,
don't be offended.
You don't be offended. They're not there for you. And I mean, they are and they aren't. They're just, you know, right then, you know, we've all had a day where we need to focus on what we're doing.
It's like work orientation.
A little. Yeah, I think so.
You know?
Space Coast Stadium, as we were saying, AAA Stadium, it may be the last year that they use this stadium.
Yeah. That's
because, as you know, the Nationals are in the middle of nowhere. They would like to move somewhere else, preferably to the Tampa area, where they could get a lot closer to a lot of other stadiums. Because, as you can imagine, when you have to travel somewhere else or someone has to travel to you, it's a minimum of an hour, you know, on the bus. You can't really do a plane very well. There is a small airport in Melbourne. They could take a plane, which is one of the things that Brevard County is working on. They're trying to see, can we get a better deal for the Nationals and give them a plane to transport them quickly to where they got to go.
Because they clearly want the Nationals to stay there. I mean,
it's a big deal for them. They have a minor league team, but I mean, it's a big spring for them. Everybody that I met who was like a waitress or a waiter, wanted to know, and they saw my Nats hat, and they were like, "Oh, you're down here for spring training," and they like, this is, you know, Florida and especially the beach part's always going to have tourists, but it's a nice boost for them to have this kind of money specifically in that county. Because there are frankly better counties to stay in if you're gonna to the beach. So Space Coast Stadium, it's an older stadium. It reminds me of a very tiny Dodger stadium, and I can't exactly explain why. I just don't know why. That's what it makes me feel like. But it's there. There's nothing else over there. You park on the lawn. It's not for free. They pull you in. It's like $5 or usually $5 or $10 to park your car. It's used as, I think, the Brevard County Bulldogs, I think, is the rest of the year. Tons of Nat stuff you can't get anywhere else. Spring training stuff, T-shirts and baseballs and I don't know, stuff. The price of food at the stadium was about the same as here.
It's
a little more expensive.
Stadium prices.
Maybe a little cheaper. I can't quite remember, but I didn't feel it was that much better. When you go to a spring training game, what you're expecting and what you're watching is to see how, quote, people look. And this is great for the little general manager in all of us and the little scout that's in all of us that, you know, consumes so many wonderful, you know, blog posts and podcasts about what we know about these players and how they look and what they're blah, blah, which is all fun. And I love doing it. But, you know, that's kind of why you go to spring training, just to kind of, you're there for one of two reasons, to goof off and see a little baseball, or you're there because you really care about how these guys are looking and what's going on. You can't pay attention to the score because once, you know, a pitcher might literally go into a game saying, I need to work on my fastball.
Right.
I'm only going to throw.
Sometimes they have specific goals that they just want to do.
I want to throw 50 fastballs. And in a normal game, a pitcher might say, forget that. I'm not going to throw 50 fastballs.
That's not realistic.
But if, you know, so it's going to affect the gameplay and how things are going. Or, you know, a shortstop's going to say, today we're not trying any double plays. We're really working on the timing of getting, a pickoff at second base.
And I think that's really important for the fans to know, is that this is not a normal – it's not really a normal scrimmage. It's not just two teams playing each other. I mean, there are certain things that that each player might be working on, or each position might be working on.
Right.
And that is – it's not just, okay, we're going to go and try to win this game. It's I am doing
Yeah, they're
this.
Trying to win, but, you
right,
know, they're –
Right, but they're actually having
– trying to win within the context of a – certain
goal, in teacher
usually.
Speak, it's, you know, the student will be able to X by the end of the lesson. It's like the player will hopefully be able to do something.
Right. And if a guy doesn't look great when he's playing to you because maybe he gave up a lot of goals. Wow, I just watched a guy score a goal on hockey. The Caps finally scored. Yes.
Hey.
Anyway, if a player gave up a lot of runs or couldn't make contact with a pitch or something, that doesn't mean that it wasn't a successful outing for that player, because that player could have been trying something else completely. The player could have been doing plate discipline and saying, I really am going to try and draw a walk here because that was a problem last year and I really need to focus on my eye. And let's say he gets struck out by that much, but maybe he got those other three balls and he's feeling better about that. So the result is not necessarily the result we see as a fan is not necessarily the result that they were worried about in their heads.
Those types of goals or things that they want to accomplish in these spring training games, are those published or announced, or is this just something
Can
that you
talk into the microphone? Because
that
microphone picks up what you say.
Got it.
Try that sentence again.
So are these goals and these accomplishments that these players want to achieve during these spring training games, are those things published or announced?
Not really.
Or is this just kind of something that you watch for and kind of see and pick up, or something that they mention after the game in a press conference
They would
or something?
Probably, if they were going to mention it, it would be after the game. It would be one of those things where Davey would, like last year, Davey would say, they would ask about Strasburg, and he'd say, well, our goal with Strasburg was we really just wanted him to get out there and have four innings of work. We wanted to see what his fastball could do. You don't want to say that kind of stuff beforehand because then everybody knows what you're working on.
Right. No, yeah.
So, but if after the case, it's not such a big deal.
All right.
So there's no way you're going to really, unless you keep up with the team and you have a good idea of
what it is. Right.
You're probably just going to be going in a little blind. The other thing, I guess, with spring training is that even though it's kind of far away for the Nationals and it's kind of far away, you're in a unique place where all these teams are kind of within a few hours of each other.
Yep.
So you can
go see
some other teams. I went and saw Houston last year play the Nationals in Kissimmee, which is not too far from Orlando. The Braves play in Disney. More or less, they play in I forget, it's like right next to the Magic Kingdom.
It's a nice location.
Is where the Braves play. Those are the two closest, and those are still an hour away.
Plan accordingly.
Right. A lot of teams are over in Tampa. That's like a 2.5-hour drive, I think, at least. Jupiter is where the Cardinals play, and Port St. Lucie is where the Mets play. You're talking an hour and a half for each of those teams at least to go. And frankly, I was going to go to those games, and at the last moment I didn't because I was just kind of beat. And I'm like, I'm not going to take an hour and a half to get all the way down. And no one else was with me, too, was the other thing. I was
going
to be driving. It would have been 3 hours of driving by myself in Florida to go see a baseball game. And I just said, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to go explore some other things that day.
So, quick question.
Yeah.
How/where do you get tickets for these games?
You can get them now on the Nationals website. You can get single tickets. And if you're a season ticket holder, you are entitled to one free game.
Any free game or
one free spring training game at the Nationals Park in Florida.
Sweet.
So I used it to get tickets to the game that we're going to at the end of February, beginning of March. We're going to two home games and have left the road games undecided. You can also go to most of the other websites for the other teams.
Okay.
So you can look at the Nationals website, see where they are on a particular day, and go to like the Mets website and buy a ticket there. But I found that it was pretty easy to get them on StubHub. Things like the Yankees and Red Sox are going to sell out. Weekend games are going to be more sold out than weekday games because obviously more people can take a weekend off. But it was pretty easy to get a ticket day of if I wanted to. The Cardinals were a little expensive. I think it was $30 the day of, which I thought was a bit expensive for a spring training ticket, but you know, manageable. And certainly, you know, living in D.C., it's conceivable to spend $30 on a ticket.
Yeah,
so I'm
easily.
Sure a lot of people have done that before. You could do that. What was the other? I had something else. When you do go to a road game, though, as we mentioned, there is usually more than the 25 people, more than the 25-man roster there. There's a lot of people.
Right.
So sometimes when you go to a road game, you get like half stars and half bench guys that they're playing.
Oh, okay.
They'll do what's called a split squad.
Got it.
Where sometimes there's two games going on at once, one at home and one away, and they send half their guys down the road, and the veterans get to stay home. That's sort of one of their perks. They don't have to travel if they don't want to. They, you know, it's all Davy's call anyway. But so when you go on the road, just be prepared that you might not necessarily see, you know, if you're going there to see Rafael Soriano and you go on a road game, chances are you're not going to see him. Because he's going to want to stay, and he's a veteran, and they paid him $28 million, and you know what? If he doesn't want to go,
he doesn't have to go.
So, you know, just be wary that you might not be getting the Nats you're thinking of when you go. With that said, some of the young guys are the best guys to talk to. Steve Lombardozzi, I didn't get to talk to him, but he was nice to people, and I was in spring training texting my wife going, this Steve Lombardozzi guy's going to make the squad at some point.
Yep.
He's great, and he was just hustling and rocking out, and it was one of those things where it sounds totally like, oh, sure you did, Frank, now, because he, of course, you know, made the squad and played second base for a while. But definitely, in spring training, I was like, that guy's great, and I don't remember him at all. So you get to see guys like that,
right,
which is kind of neat.
Kind of can see the rising of the stars.
How are we doing? Oh, my. This is like that other podcast long. It's 43 minutes in.
Oh, my gosh, Frank, you talk too much.
You talked about all the Florida things, and I talked about all the baseball things.
That's true.
And I talked about a lot of Florida things. I talked a lot.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to stop talking. You tell everyone how to get a hold of us.
All right. If you would like to get a hold of us, leaving comments, questions, or just want a shout out or whatnot, send us an email, nationals101@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Send us a tweet, @nationals101. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/nationals101.
Yep.
And we have a new website, nats101.com.
Yep.
Nationals101 was taken by someone else, so
we're not even discussing that anymore.
nats101.com is us. And hopefully we'll see people at Nats Fest. We have new fancy schmancy business cards.
We do have fancy schmancy business cards. I'm excited to
have
those
all our
out.
Contact information on it. So I'm excited to get this out too.
It'll be cool. And we will be there. We'll be chitting and chatting and festing.
We'll have our phones, so if you have a smartphone and you want to meet up or something.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a picture or something and send it out and people can track us down. And we know a lot of people, so we maybe know people that you know if you're new to our show. Anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For listening
to
us.
This was a good one.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I felt like I knew what I was talking about.
Make sure everyone knows that this is a good one. Okay. Until next week, where we will probably come up with something to talk about.
Yes. I'm Susan.
I'm Frank. Have a good night.
See you guys. Bye.